This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. You are watching the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Thank you for tuning in again. Today we're going to be talking about spirituality. Some of us get really, really depressed at times. That's the nature of this life. And now, how do you become more spiritual? Do you have to shut the lights off, throw some candles on the table, and just throw your head from side to side and wait some Holy Spirit to come in you, and you start speaking in tongues? What is it? What does this mean? So we're going to be talking about this with our next guest in a second here on the Dean Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean
Show.
This is the Dean.
This is the Dean Show.
This is the Dean Show.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa barakatuh.
Peace be with you, my brother.
And with you as well.
Thank you for being with us on the Dean Show.
Jazakallah khair. It's a pleasure to be here.
I got a gift for you.
Jazakallah khair.
Now, this is the DVD that we have of the Dean Show.
Nice. Mashallah.
I had to figure out something to give you because it's courage to give gifts in Islam.
Indeed.
That's my gift to you.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. So, you have your own section at thedeanshow.com. People can go there and see the other show.
Okay.
Can you just take a minute just to kind of let our viewers know who you are for those that already don't know?
Okay. Basically, I was born in Montreal, Canada. And growing up, you know, alhamdulillah, I had a passion for the religion. So eventually, I went overseas and learned Arabic at the Islamic University of Medina and further pursued a bachelor's in Sharia. After that, I came back and I signed up with Al Maghrib, and I'm actually one of their hadith instructors. I teach hadith, and my second and newest class right now is called Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya, or those things that are specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in terms of characteristics and traits. Likewise, I counsel the community, especially marital counseling, youth counseling, any sort of troubles that the community has, I try to help them out as much as I can. And obviously, I love spreading the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's why I'm here today.
No, hold up, wait a minute, because you know that we have a lot of not yet Muslims.
Right.
And there are people that don't understand Islam, which simply means to acquire peace by submitting your will to the owner of peace, the one God, the God of Jesus, Abraham, and the last and final messenger, Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon them all. So now you said some Arabic words. Now, just to know, if we were living during the time of Jesus, he would have spoke Aramaic.
Correct.
So this is the sister language, Arabic.
Right.
So tell us, what is Sharia? Because some people, when you say Sharia, they think the boogeyman is coming to get you. So what is Sharia? You said it.
What does it mean?
Sharia
is the law that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislated for mankind to govern the lands with. And it has many aspects to it. As it relates to everyone, and what I was referring to specifically, is how we govern our lives as individuals to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this refers to the way we pray, the way we fast, the way we interact and deal with one another, and, you know, just the way we live our daily lives.
And you said Allah, now people think this is some Arab God. Uh-huh. Who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I wish, you know, it was possible to do justice of a description in mere words, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator, the sustainer, and the one who solely deserves to be worshipped. Linguistically speaking, the word Allah comes from al-ilah, the one who has the sole right to be worshipped. And that is who Allah is.
Is this the same God of Jesus, Abraham, Noah, the same God they worshipped?
This is the same God that they worshipped. This is the same God that created them. And this is the same God that every prophet called to and preached about.
That's the Allah. He's not that a man or woman, but the creator of man and woman?
Exactly.
Beautiful. That's simple. Now, just one more note. Don't Arab Christians that have the Bible in Arabic, isn't the word Allah used for God?
Exactly. They use the exact same word.
Okay, now those that might have had some fears, they can rest assured that this is a way of life, like you said, that all the messengers of God taught, brought, preached, teached, And we're just doing the same thing, continuing the message.
Exactly, that's it.
Worshiping the one God, not His creation. And you're learning about it here on The Dean Show. And today we're talking about spirituality. Many people, they have what's associated with it, mysticism.
Right.
And you got to turn off the lights. You got to set the mood. And you got to do something fancy and something, sometimes it's weird. So what is spirituality really in Islam? What is it all about?
Okay. Spirituality, you have to understand the nature of mankind. The nature of mankind is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us as human beings who live in this world. We are meant to go out and seek our assistance. We're meant to educate ourselves. We're meant to take care of our families and meant to do all of these things. But one of the most key fundamental aspects of our lives is taking care of our souls. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that successful is the one who purifies his soul. And this is a goal for each and every individual. Now, the reality of our times is that the vast majority of the people get so caught up in this world that they don't focus on purifying their souls or purifying the hearts. And in order for one to truly be content, in order for one to truly submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have to take care of their hearts and they have to take care of their souls. This is just like the individual who has a sickness. An individual who is sick is not truly going to be able to enjoy this world. Someone gives you a gift, let's just say a really, really nice car. But if you're terminally ill, you have a sickness, you're not going to be able to enjoy that car. Same thing with purification of the soul. If you don't purify your soul, you don't purify your heart, the many blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, you're not going to be able to be grateful for them, you're not going to be able to appreciate them, and you're not going to find any serenity or tranquility in this life up and until you purify your soul and your heart.
So do you have to do some... Okay, so purifying your heart, and if you're not purifying your heart, which this is what Islam, what the Creator wants us to do, and this is how we could be successful, will this alleviate depression in our lives?
Definitely, definitely. A lot of the times when people don't take care of their souls, that's what it leads to, is depression in this life. People end up losing hope in this life, they end up losing hope in God, they end up, you know, just giving up. And up until the fact that they start purifying their hearts, that's the state that they're going to be in. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Quran, He gives this parable of lightness and darkness. And the individual who is in light is the one who is spiritually enlightened, who knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who is in darkness is the one who doesn't purify his soul, doesn't know Allah, nor does he worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Now, to purify your heart, do you have to, what are some of the practical things that you do? Is this left to guesswork or is it defined?
Oh, clearly it is defined. This is one of the beautiful narrations of the companions, that he was outside in nature one day and there was a bird flapping its wings going by. And he said that the Prophet ﷺ taught us everything that we need to know about our religion, even this bird that is flapping its wings in the sky. So if the Prophet ﷺ taught us about that bird that's flapping its wings in the sky, then it is obvious that that which is more important, like purifying one's soul and heart, would have been taught to us as well. So therefore, when it comes to spirituality, it is not something we guess or make up, but rather, like everything else, we are confined to the Quran and the Sunnah when we do this.
And the Quran, is this the verbatim word of God?
The verbatim word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And the Sunnah is?
The Sunnah, as we explained in our last show, is the inspired word to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So while it wasn't direct revelation, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was inspired with these words about the religion, about this world, and as which we use as a form of guidance.
Now, before I go to my next question, just to bring this point home, can we make a correlation between the two? Like during Moses' time, for example, did he have a revelation that was given to him and then you had to follow his way, his sunnah?
Exactly. Each and every prophet, they had their revelation. You know, Moses, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, had the Torah. Jesus had the gospel. Dawud, alayhi salam, had the Psalms. And then on top of that, the people had to follow their example and their interpretation of those various texts. So similarly, as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and we follow his example of interpreting and implementing the Quran.
That makes so much sense. So you have the instruction manual and the representative,
exactly,
who's explaining it. So it's not my interpretation or what I think it should be like.
Exactly.
It's how the messenger at that time is defining it. And today we have the last and final messenger.
Exactly.
Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Exactly.
All right, good. We're going to take a break, if you don't mind. And we'll be right back on the Deen
Show. You have to pray as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But you must work as if everything depends on you, and it doesn't. That's my point. You see what I'm saying, man? And I don't like that. I don't like us sitting here. What are you waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? What are we waiting for all these people to come to Islam? What are we waiting for? What are we waiting for right now? When they're going to come? They're going to come, Allah going to bring these people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our hand the ability to do it. Now do your job.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Peace be with you. Welcome back to the Deen Show. And we're talking about spiritual development. Very important key. I'm going to tell you my experience way back when I started to come to a realization like, you know what, this life is short and I'm going to die soon. I was very nervous. I was like, you know, I got to get myself together. It's not all about just having fun and living from Friday to Friday and then work, party, and play. So I ended up trying to really investigate. I started comparing all the different religions, and I went through my journey and, you know, getting serious, wanting to know what's the purpose of life, et cetera, et cetera. And I started to investigate Islam, and everything was coming to making sense. But now I was feeling something. My soul was yearning for something. I didn't have all the correct understanding. So I would, because of the outside influences, you see some people, they'll get full of the Holy Ghost, and you're looking for this feeling inside, like something's going to overtake you. And what I did was I literally shut the lights off. I didn't know anything. So I shut the lights off, and I did. I put some hoo, ha, ha, and I put some music, you know, some, you know, this is a while. I was ignorant. I didn't know. And I was just waiting there, and I was saying some words, you know, praising God, and I was waiting for something to happen, something to come up, whoo, just take me. I didn't know. Is this what we're talking about?
This is absolutely not what we're
talking
about.
But my intention was good.
The intention was good, and inshallah, you'll be rewarded for your intention. But when it comes to Islam, not only do we require righteous intentions, but we require righteous actions as well. And this is refers to, you know, following the example of the Prophet ﷺ and of his companions.
So this was something that many people, I think, there is a misconception here. Many people, they feel that, you know what, because you'll hear, again, from the outside influence that I'm full of the they call it the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Do we have anything like this in Islam?
No, we don't have anything like that in Islam.
So, okay, so continue on talking to us about the proper way that God Almighty wants us, how to develop this purification of the heart.
Excellent. Okay, so the essence of spirituality is to become more sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to develop that close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best ways to do this, or one of the best ways to do this, is contemplate death itself.
Contemplate death.
Contemplate death.
But that's scary though.
It is very, very scary, but it brings you back to reality. It gives you a reality check that the lives that we live are very limited, and there is a life which is everlasting in the hereafter. And you have to make a conscious decision of which group of people do you want to be of, the people of heaven or the people of hell. And with that reality check, you can't help but to become more sincere in the actions that you do. You can't help but be more focused in the action that you choose to do. So that's the number one thing. And this is seen from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, remember the destroyer of pleasures. He said, remember this destroyer of pleasures, remember death frequently. And this is why you would see some of the companions, they would dig up their graves, and while they're alive, they would go and lay down in it. And that is like the ultimate reality check. That no matter how much power you have, no matter how much money you have, how much authority you have, each and every individual one day is going to end up in that place. And it's actually a very, very scary thought. Now, not only death within of itself, but leading up to death, it has a profound effect. I'll tell you one story that really, really struck me.
Please tell us.
I was at an event in March last year. And in this event, we were told the story of Najashi. He was the Abyssinian king who was originally Christian but accepted Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never met him. But when Najashi passed away, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this profound statement. He said, "Mata al-yawm rajulun salih," that today a righteous man has passed away. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, what a beautiful ending that must have been, that the Prophet ﷺ himself is testifying to this man's righteousness. And if he had any mistakes or any sins that he had committed, he has the best of mankind seeking his forgiveness in janazah. So I thought to myself, you know, if anyone ever wanted a good ending, that would have been like the superbest of endings. That the Prophet ﷺ himself testifies to his righteousness, then when they prayed his funeral prayer, they're seeking his forgiveness as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would definitely answer that. Likewise, if you look at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I want to paint a picture for you over here. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he died, he went through a lot of agony, through a lot of pain. And in that pain, he's lying on the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha, his most beloved wife, the most beloved thing to him in this world. And during all of that, he just kept looking at the sky. He would raise his hands. And then when he passed away from this world, he said, Allahumma firrafiq al-a'la, O Allah in the highest of companionship. And those were the last words the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uttered. So through that pain, through that agony, through being with the love of this world, with Aisha radiallahu anha, the epitome of love for him, he was still longing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you see, not within the death itself, but even stories relating to death, you can't help but purify your soul, can't help but purify your heart.
Is that getting like some people go to the gym to get that pump, some people go to the club to get some high, some people take some drugs also to get that feeling.
Right.
But does thinking about death, it gives you another feeling, that feeling of a reality check?
It gives you the feeling of a reality check, and I'll tell you how it actually works. When you think about death, it actually breaks you down. It makes you feel worthless. But then you go through the cycle that once you were broken down, you start building back up. Now this building back up, it actually makes you a better person. And that's what the reality check is all about. That you start doing those actions that are conducive towards righteousness. You'll start praying more, you'll pray on time, you'll read more Quran. The afterlife is in mind. It's always in focus.
So if you're haunty now, you got some title, Mr. President or Mr. CEO or I'm Mr. Big Shot. Now think about death, the destroyer of pleasures, and now you realize I'm gonna have some dirt in my mouth or I'm gonna be 6 feet under. Now you come back to reality and you humble yourself.
Exactly.
And then you start to maybe beseech the Creator more and say, hey, you know, if I'm returning to you, I want to return in a good state.
Definitely, definitely, that's what.
So give us now, that's one. We're almost out of time. Thinking, contemplating on death. This is for your betterment, so you can be more sincere in acts of worship. Tell us some more, please.
Okay, another thing to focus on is where you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your relationship with Him. The pious predecessors, they used to say, never look at the size of your sin, but look at the greatness of the one whom you're sinning against. So now when it comes to committing sin, a lot of people have this mentality, oh, this is just a small sin, or this, you know, this is just a minor sin. It's not that big of a deal. But if you look at the predecessors, they never looked at it this way. Every single sin that they committed was something heavy on their shoulders, a burden that they had that they have to alleviate themselves from. And this is why you have the beautiful statement from the companion that the hypocrite, he considers his sin just like a fly that lands on your nose. He waves it away and he thinks that the sin is gone. Whereas the believer, he considers his sin a heavy weight upon his shoulders like mountains, that he carries it with him up and until he seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So always look at your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To share a nice story with you in terms of how our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he had a grandson. His name was Salim.
Who is this? This is one of the, just for our viewers to know, this is one of the companions of the last and final messenger?
He was one of the companions and he was the second Khalifa of Islam. Mm-hmm. He had a grandson by the name of Salim. And Salim was a profound individual. He used to live in Mecca and the Khalifa went to go see him one day. So the Khalifa goes to see him while he's making tawaf and he says, oh Salim, I want to ask you a question. Please answer it for me. Do you have any need in this world that I can fulfill for you? Do you need any money? Salim gave him something profound. He said, if you and I were guests in the house of someone, would you ask me to have your need fulfilled or would you ask the host himself? The Khalifa said, I would ask the host. So he said, here we are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you think I'm going to ask you or would I ask the host himself? The Khalifa left humiliated. So they left the haram and now the Khalifa wants his revenge. He waits for Salim to come out and he thinks that now that they're outside of the haram, he'll have him. So he goes up to Salim and he says, oh Salim, I ask you the same question again. Is there any need of yours that needs to be fulfilled? Any money that you may need? He said, let me ask you a question, O Khalifa. Do you actually own this wealth Or are you just put in charge of it? The Khalifa says, I'm just put in charge of it. So he says, would I ask the owner of the wealth or just the one who's put in charge? And he said, obviously the one who owns this wealth. And the Khalifa left again. And he told his people, his entourage, did I not tell you this was a special person? So our ultimate goal is to turn everything back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In terms of all the blessings that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sins that we commit, we're seeking Allah's forgiveness. Everything that we do, we're trying to keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in mind.
So before we go to break, so Allah, He's the most merciful, the most forgiving. We just got to have our actions in line with all the good things He's told us to do.
Exactly.
And stay away from all the bad things.
Just try your best. That's all that's required.
And this is only going to better our lives.
Definitely.
Let's take a break and we'll be right back on the Deen Show.
There'll always be someone that'll be there to say something negative. But at the same time, there'll be someone there to say something positive also. So just hold on to the rope of Allah.
Everything in this universe rely and need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that the Prophet never ever start a war against anybody.
So if you find yourself, your iman is going down, check yourself.
There is none worthy to be worshipped except Allah alone.
You got some CD or some music in the car? Bobbing your head to 50 cents or...
No, it's common sense. Don't do things that can hurt people.
Lady Gaga, Gugu, and all that other nonsense?
Bullying is haram, backbiting, slandering, and such substances as smoking.
Stay tuned, 18-inch biceps. We'll see what happens to Eddie on the Deen Show. This is the Deen Show. And we holding it down on the Deen Show early. Make sure y'all tune in.
Back on the Deen Show, and we are talking about spiritual development, and the time is so short, but we just want to give people a taste, a better understanding, and then they can go on and continue getting motivated to seek knowledge and implement all the good knowledge that we have, authentic knowledge that's from the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Tell us now, it's the same thing, like a person is a law-abiding citizen. You should be a law-abiding citizen, right?
Definitely.
You should obey the law of the land. But now, you know, a person doesn't want to get locked up for disorderly conduct. A person doesn't want to get locked up for, you know, let's say parking tickets or whatever it is. These are crimes. You don't want to commit crimes.
Exactly.
Is it the same thing now with the law of God? We don't want to break the law of the land, nor should we want to break the law of God. Isn't this more important?
Definitely. And, you know, there's actually a nice parallel over here, that when you commit a crime in the society, let's just say like a driving offense, you end up paying a ticket and that's it, it's over. But whereas when you commit a sin against God, it actually places a black dot on your heart.
Stains the heart, huh?
It stains the heart. And the more sins that you commit, the harder your heart becomes, and the harder it becomes for you to connect to God. And it becomes such a bad state that one is no longer able to distinguish between right and wrong. One longs for closeness to God, but is unable to attain it. And that is like one of the worst forms of punishment in this world. So just like people would pay, you know, parking tickets and would pay these things off, the way to get those black dots off of our heart is to seek forgiveness from God.
Seek forgiveness.
You look at the best example in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He said that I seek forgiveness from Allah 70 to 100 times a day, if not more than that. And this is an individual whom all of his sins are already forgiven. It's guaranteed. But just due to the fact that Allah loves this act of seeking forgiveness, he used to do it throughout the day. So the best way to do this is just frequent the statement, Astaghfirullah. Anywhere you're going, keep it on your tongue. In your sajda, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you will find Him to be compassionate and merciful.
So He's showing us through example that God loves this earnest seeking of forgiveness, and the Prophet, peace be upon him, did it, not because he was like some big sinner, like some people, you know, the misconception, oh, he sought forgiveness, so, you know,
right.
This is not the case.
Not at all.
So this is, again, to show us and to, because God Almighty Allah loves this?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
So never give up or despair of the mercy of God?
Never, ever. This is, again, from the beauty of Islam, that an individual comes into Islam, his sins are wiped out completely, like I'm talking a clean white slate, no sins whatsoever. Same thing for the Muslim himself, when he seeks his forgiveness, when he does good deeds, God wipes out those sins for him.
Closing comments and suggestions, we covered reality, remembering death, sincerity and seeking forgiveness. One last
piece of advice.
Yes.
One last piece of advice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this revelation known as the Quran. It is a very blessed revelation. The clearest signs of this is an individual who recites it and reflects over it. It will move his heart. And this is what I want to invite you to, bidnillahi ta'ala.
We started with peace, we end with peace. Peace be unto you. Thank you for being
and
with us.
And you as well. Thank you very much.
Jazakallah. Thank you. And thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Deen Show. Again, you got to hear some great advice. Remember, the destroyer of pleasure is death. It can come at any time. So humble yourself in front of the Most High, the Most Great, the creator of this universe and everything in it. He created us and he created everything and he's given us everything. And now we have to beseech him for the guidance. It's that simple. It's that easy. Start to earnestly ask for forgiveness, ask for guidance, and then be courageous enough to take those steps forward to live on the truth, to be on the truth, and to die on the truth. And visit us here every week on The Deen Show. Until next time, peace be unto you.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the Creator.